See that? All by myself. I think this is the first week. Well, good morning. We are going to get started here. And just to prepare yourself, if you want to turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. As we get into today's dispensation, I mentioned it last week. We are going to come back, and depending on how we do today, we were going to come back and kind of look at the tribulation period. Again, I've mentioned it a couple of times as I've studied through this. I just think I'm going to not teach the tribulation as a separate dispensation. Some people will hold to that, and that's okay. But I think as I've studied through this and whatnot, I think I'm still not 100% where I put it, but I'm pretty confident that it's not a dispensation in and of itself, would be my argument. But we'll come back and look at some of the characteristics of the judgment period, and just give you enough information that you can decide on your own what you want to do with it. I'm not going to tell you where it goes, or what you have to do with it. I have my opinion, and that's based on studying through this, and as we've studied through this, we'll look at it so that you guys can kind of make an informed decision, but I want to kind of approach it a little bit differently than we've approached the last dispensation. So we'll look at the last dispensation today. And which dispensation is this? Divine rule. The kingdom age, or the millennium. So we'll get into that one there. Any questions? As we get going over the dispensation of grace, we had some good discussion last week on the dispensation of grace. Any questions, though, or any questions on anything up until this point that we've been looking at? You know, it's interesting. Normally, it's lopsided this way, and so I can stand and face kind of on an angle here and catch everybody. I think you guys are kind of out this week. All right, well, let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for just our time together, as we've kind of done an overview of biblical history, and we've started with Genesis, and now we're getting to Revelation. Just thank you for this overview. Thank you for how you have dealt with mankind through the different ages. And we just, again, we thank you for your grace and your Son, Jesus Christ. We just pray that you guide and direct in our discussion, our conversation this morning. May it glorify you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read Isaiah chapter 11 this morning. And I'm just going to read all 16 verses here, as it kind of gives a idea of what the millennial kingdom, the dispensation of the kingdom age looks like here. It says here, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eye sees, nor make a decision by what his ear hears. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand in the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Then in that day the nations will restore to the root of Jesse, will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for his peoples, and the resting place will be glorious. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people who will remain from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he will lift up a standard for the nations, and the assembly will assemble the banished ones of Israel, and will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Then the jealousy of Ephraim will depart, and those who harass Judah will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, and Judah will not harass Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of the Philistines on the west. Together they will plunder the sons of the east. They will possess Edom and Moab, and the sons of Ammon will be subject to them. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongues of the sea of Egypt, and he will wave his hand over the river. With a scorching wind he will strike it into seven streams, and will make men walk over the dry shod. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant of his people who will be left, just as there was for Israel in the day that they came up out of the land of Egypt. A passage looking to the future, and some interesting things in there as we look through this passage here. Just some important tidbits about this time period. This is the dispensation where the covenants to Israel are going to be fulfilled. The Abrahamic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant. Again, we're going to look at those covenants here in just a couple of weeks. They will finally be fulfilled. The promise of land Abraham, Israel will finally have an opportunity to possess the land. To David, David is given a promise that his seed will reign. His seed will sit on the throne, and we'll see that as Christ will come during this time and physically reign on earth. And we know that Christ is from the line of David. And so as we look through those different covenants, in a couple of weeks, you'll see that they will finally be fulfilled during this time period. The scripture portion, it really is a lot through the bits and pieces through the Old Testament. You'll find like a passage here in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 65 has reference to the millennial kingdom. So there's passages throughout the Old Testament that deal with this time period. And then there's just a small little section in Revelation chapter 20 where we look at the millennial kingdom. So it's kind of this time period is spread out throughout Scripture. The time starts at the second coming of Christ, so at the end of the tribulation period, when Christ comes back to physically reign on the earth, is when this time period will start, and it will go through to the great white throne judgment. So through Armageddon to when every person is gathered, and the final judgment, and after that judgment, then we enter into a time period without time. Not that there's, I don't know exactly the details of whether there's time or not, but we know that those of us that enter into that from Adam all the way through to the last person that has put their faith in Christ Jesus will enter into eternity, and we look forward to that. I was harassing Ray a little bit this morning because he harasses me, and so I just reminded him that one day he may need my services. And he shouldn't harass me. I may slow down and stall getting to him. And he said, that's okay. I'll just go home. So it wasn't fair. I couldn't even get him on that one. So the time period is from the second coming to the great white throne judgment. So who would be some key people through this time period? The line of David, I don't know that David will actually be in this time period, but there's an important part of his line. Christ will be there, so for sure he is a key person. That will be, remember from our Revelation class that's through the tribulation period. So that has come to an end. Actually, through this time, Satan is bound. The nice part about this time period is Satan's influence won't be there because he'll be bound. He has already gone through that. The dragon and with all of that is the tribulation period. And that will have come to an end, which, again, when you think of the millennial kingdom and we look at salvation, you know, even the people of that time period will see that they'll reject Christ. Physically, Christ sitting there, and part of their failure, so I'll give this away a little bit ahead of time, is they're going to reject Christ. Christ sitting on the throne and not that without the influence of Satan, and there will be a group of people that still reject Christ. So again, there's no situation where someone can say, well, if you would have done it this way, then I would have believed. We'll still see them reject Christ. So the nation of Israel would be an important key person through this time period. And then the role of believers as to what their role is exactly. There's some speculation as to what our role is. It appears that we will have some role in ruling with Christ during that time. And to the details of that, I don't know. Just not a lot there. Is there any other details with how believers are involved with the millennial kingdom?
Just what I think 2 Timothy has to say a little bit about it. Part of our reward as we enter that age is to reign with Christ. To what capacity and in what area, we don't know. It just says that.
Yep, so it'll be interesting to see. So other than this time period for believers, the millennial kingdom may be a better time period simply because as believers through that time period, we won't have to worry about death, aging, sickness, all of that stuff. As believers through this time, we'll have already received our glorified body at that point, so. During the thousand-year reign, yes. So, again, we just know that we will get to reign with Christ. To the capacity, we don't know. But Christ, in his glorified body, seemed to be able to just go from one location to another just instantaneously when we see his last days on earth after his resurrection. So I'm kind of hoping that time travel will be a part of the millennial kingdom. When we receive our glorified body, we will just be able to appear places, walk through walls. I don't know. Speculation. So believers will be a part of the millennial kingdom. Christ is there reigning, and the nation of Israel is a key person. So here's where some things change. Really, as we've looked at the characteristics of man and some of the things involved around him, through all of from the fall until now, very little has changed in the characteristics of man. But we have some changes. Man still has a sin nature. So people born into the millennial kingdom, it's believers that make it through the tribulation that enter into the millennial kingdom. So when we get to the tribulation at the rapture, it's believers who are taken off the earth and unbelievers that enter into the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, it's unbelievers that are taken off the face of the earth and believers who enter into the millennial kingdom. So what are some of the characteristics of man through this time? Still sinful, still has that sin nature, so I'll... But what's the life and things like there?
We're still talking about the 1,000 years?
Still in the 1,000 years.
Well, we should all have new bodies and healthy.
The believers will. So let's deal with the people that have come through the tribulation into the millennial kingdom. So not the believers that were raptured, but the believers that enter into the millennial kingdom, and then people that are born into it. There'll still be procreation during the millennial kingdom. So what are they like? What are some of the circumstances and characteristics that surround them and their life? I believe that
the way you said that, you know, where the animals lay down with the other animals, that means that we wouldn't need it.
I think there will be a similarity to the garden. It won't be perfect like the garden was, but there'll be some similarities. It seems to imply that man may go back to being vegetarians. What are some other things there that we didn't read it all in this one passage? So I'm kind of picking your brain for things that you may know from other spots.
Well, from the passage, I think we do see perfect justice.
Perfect justice. That's a neat one there. When righteousness will prevail as the law of the land. It will be against the law to be unrighteous. That will be interesting when lust and greed are actually against the law. So that will be an interesting characteristic. What's that?
Will that be instant?
And how will that be judged? Is there instantaneous judgment on that, or is it at the end of the millennial kingdom?
What happens to them?
Well, it still then depends as to their belief in Christ or not. Again, salvation through this dispensation is still the same.
But see, that's going to be the offspring of the ones who came to the judgment. Their minds could be not where they
may not believe, even though Christ is there, they still might not have believed. But as for their judgment, The ultimate judgment, whether they enter into eternity or not, is, I guess, whether they enter into eternity with God or not, is whether they believe or not. As for their judgment with their physical judgment for being lustful, is that instantaneous or is that...
As far as I read here, it's going to be perfect justice, and there are other passages that I believe, in Isaiah, talking about ruling with a rod of iron, okay, or was that...
That was here, it talks about...
Okay, all right, there you go. But it seems to me like it's going to be perfect to where, and with Christ reigning on earth, I can't see where even our thoughts wouldn't be judged.
Yeah. In verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 11, it says in the middle, well, I'll just read the whole verse. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he, which is Christ, will not judge by what his eye sees, nor make a decision by what his ear hears, but with righteousness he will judge. Or it says judge the poor. And so a judge today has to have the facts. He has to see the evidence, he has to hear the witnesses, and then he has to make a decision based on that. Christ does not have to have that, because he knows the thoughts and the intents of the person. He knows what their motives were, and he doesn't judge by what just his eyes see or what his ears hear. He judges by the heart motive, and so it's a totally different kind of justice. And with the judging with that rod, it seems to imply that the judgment will happen quickly. Again, it hasn't happened yet. I don't know exactly all the details.
Yeah. Will you still have to get up and go to work every morning?
I would say yes. There'll still be there'll still be some kind of monetary system. And you'll have to work through all of that and live and I don't know the details of that.
And how long are people going to live during that
that's another good characteristic about this time. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20. Do you want to read that for me, Connie? Chapter 65, verse 20. So, it doesn't exactly say how long people will live, but it seems to imply that a youthful person is still 100 years old.
It says here also, they will build houses and live in them, and they will plant vineyards and eat their fruit.
So they're still, yeah, they still have to eat, they still have to do that. So they're still the normal sustained life kind of functions.
It'll probably go back to agrarian.
You live off the land and you eat what you produce and trade and barter a little bit, but.
Yeah, if you read on, for as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hand.
Work has always been something that God created us. With working is an important part of what we do. Remember that God created Adam to still take care of the garden. So working is not a bad thing. Working is not something that was part of the curse. Hard labor, tilling the soil and pulling weeds was part of it. Work got harder, but God created us to work. So that's been a part of it. And as we, you know, enter into eternity, and the new heaven and the new earth, will there be work and stuff there for us to do? I don't know, because it seems like a lot of what we will get to do is just glorify God and whatnot. So,
we can do that through our work.
But, right now work is something that often we look forward to the day that we don't have to work anymore. God created us to work. Work is something that was in the garden. So, one was a farmer, one was a shepherd. They immediately went into working. But for the age thing, that's one of the characteristics of man, is that long life, longevity of life. I don't know the exact days. As a tree, you know, how old is a tree? Depends on which tree, right? Ray? During the millennial kingdom? I think so. Because people, it says an infant will not die after a few days. So, yeah. And there are believers that enter in, and then there are a group of people that don't believe in Christ. Where did they come from? So that, yeah. So there is still a procreation, absolutely, during that time. And when people can live to hundreds of years old, and so there's so many more years of procreation that can happen, I think there will be a huge multitude of people that live on the earth during the millennial kingdom. By the time of the millennial kingdom, there's the potential in 1,000 years for there to be billions of people again on the face of the earth, because you can procreate for hundreds of years.
Do you think those years will be the same as ours now, today?
Very similar. I don't see why they wouldn't be. I know that, you know, God's going to darken the sun for a time and change the moon to red for a time, and there's going to be stars, and, you know, there's going to be different things that happen during the tribulation, but I don't see any indication that it won't be the same or similar as to today's day and time. There doesn't seem to be any indication that changes. Yes. There's no indication that there's the permanent indwelling again of the Holy Spirit for the people that are in the millennial kingdom. There's two groups of people that are in the millennial kingdom. There's the believers that reign with Christ, and then there's the people that come in, the nation of Israel. They won't necessarily all be of Israel, but there's two groups of people there. The believers may still have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I don't know that we ever lose that, even after the rapture. Do we?
I don't
think that we ever will lose. They do, but and I don't know that the inhabitants of the millennial kingdom will have the helper. I don't know that they will get the indwelling. They may get temporary indwelling for times, but not a sealing indwelling like we have. I know where you got that, and I read that, and we were not going to talk about that today because I haven't had time to research that. Do you know anything, Craig, about verse 17 of Isaiah 65, now that Bob went there? because as I was reading through this passage, I read that very same thing, Bob. You weren't supposed to go there yet because I didn't have time to research. I didn't have time to research that exactly. But if you read verse 17 and you read through it in context, and that's where I don't know exactly, it seems that there is a in the order of things here. And I just, again, I was reviewing this last night and reading, I read that and I went, huh, I don't know that I've really pondered through that before. And so I was at work, so I didn't have time to really dig out my books and answer that question. So this is my default mechanism here.
So is all of this, does that view of the
we haven't really discussed pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, or the amillennium. We haven't got into that discussion. We have been discussing it as a pre-trib, as believers will be raptured. That's when the tribulation will start. And then with a literal millennial kingdom, a thousand-year reign of Christ. And that's where we take a literal interpretation of Scripture. And I believe in Isaiah 11, where it says, you know, the child will lead the animals there that are listed, and he'll stick his hand in the viper's den or play beside the cobras. It's literal. There's no indication to say that that's a figurative kind of passage. And so to believe that we're living in the millennial kingdom right now, you have to look at these passages and say, well, where is that? Where do we see the cow and the bear grazing together? You know, we don't see that, and there's nothing in the passage to indicate that it's figurative, that it means something else. And so we have to believe that it means what it says, and that's not happening today. So it has to be referring to something in the future yet.
Isn't reigning on earth with perfect justice because we have people getting away scot-free.
And infants do die in a few days, and people don't live at youth. You know, anybody who dies under 100 years is considered accursed, and according to the millennial passage, we don't see that. We think they're like extra blessed if they make it past 100 years. Going back to verse 17 and 65 for Bob's question.
And, you know, just because it comes in order in the passage doesn't mean that the fulfillment is in order. We see that all over in Isaiah, We see it with Jesus Christ. We see one passage talking about the government being upon his shoulders, and the next verse saying that he will be led like a lamb to the slaughter. So we see it going both ways in that.
And Revelation is a book that you can't just go through it chronologically.
Neither is Isaiah.
And yeah.
Where the book of Isaiah is actually rather systematic. It does give prophecy of the Messiah pertaining to now and later, and you can find them side by side.
Yeah.
So that could be the case
here.
I'm not going to say it is.
I didn't have enough time. I read that last night, Bob, and it seemed to me it's like, well, it's out of order, but like Pastor Craig said, there's a lot of places in Scripture where it doesn't necessarily hit on everything exactly in order.
So when you die, you're a believer, when you die, you go to heaven. Suppose that's what everybody says. Do you actually go to heaven? What is heaven?
Good question. Remember, I'll go back to the beginning. So before Christ died, the believers of that time went to a place called Abraham's bosom. Unbelievers went to Hades. Hades is a holding place. Abraham's bosom is a holding place. Remember the story in, is it Mark or Luke? Luke 16, where the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man went to Hades and the Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, and there was a great chasm that separated them, and they talked back and forth, and the rich man said, you know, send Lazarus back so that he can evangelize my siblings. So the saints before Christ died were held in Abraham's bosom. I'm sure it was a glorious place, a great place to be held. And unbelievers were held in a place called Hades. I believe that unbelievers are still being held in a place called Hades. And in Ephesians, it talks about how Christ came back and led captive a host of captives. He came and took, at that time, those being held in Abraham's bosom and took them to what we refer now as heaven, where God dwells. And there they are waiting for all the judgments to take place. And so now they go and dwell with Christ, and unbelievers dwell in Hades, not the lake of the eternal lake of fire. They're not in the lake of fire yet. That will be at the great white throne judgment, where we finally see unbelievers that are cast into the eternal lake of fire, and believers from Adam to the great white throne judgment, and I include them all, they're all the saints or however you want to describe them, are then ushered into the new heaven and the new earth.
So when the trip, when he comes and takes all the believers, you know, to heaven with him.
The rapture.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the word. He takes the dead and the believers alive.
The dead will rise first.
They're already there.
Their soul is there. Their body is not. And that's where the spirit or the soul will be reunited with the body, and then the body will be raised up as well.
So you look like this? Or?
Good question. Have you ever seen somebody in their glorified body? I haven't. Other than the description of Christ, I have not. And they recognized him when the veil was taken from their eyes. They recognized him. So it appears Mary at the tomb recognized him, and he hadn't even had his glorified body yet. He had not been back to the Father to be glorified yet. So,
well, I suppose anything that's wrong with you will be fixed.
Yes, possibly. Sickness and all of that will be done away with. So I don't know, will we be, you know, what will we look like? What age level will we be when we're there?
Says we recognize each other, but I mean, the relationship's different. But
1 John 3:2, all it says is, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know
that when he is revealed, Jesus, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is.
There you go. There's your answer. Does that clean everything up?
1 John 3, 2.
Verse 17, you go to verse 20, it seems there to be talking about the period after the millennial kingdom also, because never again will something happen.
Are you back in Isaiah?
He's back in Isaiah. I'm going to have to work through that passage, Bob, because I the same questions that you're asking, I asked last night and didn't have time to really, didn't have time to examine them. And, do you have a pen? I will spend some time, and next week, thank you, try and have some more answers on that. I know that passage has been a passage in reference to the lifespan in the millennial kingdom, and I don't have an answer for why, other than, as Pastor Craig said, things aren't, and I had the same questions, and I just need time to research that. So I will work on that. And if you won't be here next week, will you? Well, that's not fair. okay, so let's we're not going to get through this whole dispensation today. Characteristics of man: longevity of life, righteousness will be the rule of the land. Christ will physically reign on earth. There will be a universal government. If you look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 4, there will be a universal government. It will be a theocratic rule, with Christ ruling physically on earth. There will be peace amongst the animals. You see there, as we read in Isaiah 11, that the bear and the cow will graze together. Satan will be bound. Some of the ruling factors. First of all, again, human conscience is still there. Human government is there, but as to the degree and to what, I don't know. It'll be a type of government. It'll be a theocratic rule with Christ ruling and believers helping Christ rule, reigning with Christ. So how that works out exactly, I don't know whether we're helping, with the justice or whatnot. We don't know how that will exactly play out. We just know that we will reign with Christ there. So there's those are the ruling factors, is the theocratic rule and the conscience. Some new revelation, some different things that are here that hasn't been before. One is Messiah will reign on earth, and again, this is we have already received this. We know what it will look like, so it's new revelation in the sense that it will take place during this time, although the revelation has already been given. We see that there will be absolute righteous, just rule of God. We've seen that in Isaiah 11 as well, that he's not going to rule with what he sees or hears, but he rules the intent of the heart. He has that perfect, righteous nature. Appears to be restored to some pre-fall the pre-fall conditions, more like the garden, but not, it won't be exactly like that. Animals are tame. Animals are vegetarians. Human life appears to be increased, and then Satan will not have any rule during this time. So then what is man's responsibility through this time?
To glorify God.
To glorify God, more specifically for this time period. To follow Christ with him physically reigning on earth. With him here on earth, can man obey God with Christ physically reigning on the earth? And the answer to that is No. Some will.
Even without Satan's influence, they're still going to do it.
They're still going to fall. There will still be a group of people that will rise up, and when Satan is released at the end of the millennial kingdom, and he is released, he will still gather a group that will rise up against Christ and his people. Satan no longer has an influence, and Christ is here, flesh and blood, or at least glorified body, living here. The question is, how can't you? How do you not get it? And it goes back to our truth project. People are still in captivity and being held captive by their sin and their sin nature. And but there will still be those in that time that will be saved. So there's that group that still believe during that time. I think there's still a group, and I don't know how big or small the numbers will be, but it appears that there will be. No, there'll be they'll be in the millennial kingdom.
So you'll still have to evangelize to these people that are non-believers.
But it says in 11 there that righteousness is the knowledge of Christ is, it's in 11, we read it. And I don't know that the responsibility of evangelism is to the same degree, because now Christ is there and the knowledge of Christ is on the earth. And so the level of evangelism or the level of teaching, I don't know. Verse 9 of chapter 11, they will not hurt or destroy it in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. So the knowledge of the Lord is there to a degree that, again, I don't know exactly to the degree, but... because we still have the right to choose. We still have that will. We still have the right to choose or to reject Christ, and they will still reject him.
They reject him. What else is there?
Themselves.
Yeah, they will, they're still, that sin nature is still there. It still has carried through imputed sin, even though it's only believers that enter into this time period. Those believers still will impute sin to their offspring, and they will still have that nature, and so pride and all of that will still be a part of, man still has that sin nature about him, and will still submit to it.
Just for Bob's sake, 24 pastors and teachers are the same group that on our Wednesday night scroll, their commentaries on verse 17 just says, this new heavens and the new earth, this prophecy awaits the second coming of Christ, and the second gate of 3:15, Revelation 21. In the meantime, through faith, the saints experience and impart the blessings of the age to come.
But if you look at the verse that talks about long life, life is eternal once you enter into the new heaven and the new earth. And so there will be no death. There'll be no more death during that time. In that passage, verse 20 is talking about death. If somebody dies before 100, they're considered accursed. So it's still making reference to death, and we know that after the great white throne judgment in the new heaven and new earth, there will be no more death, so it can't be a reference to the new heaven and new earth. So there's some order that's not exact in that passage.
Yes, as I was just reading through Revelation, and really the only way to interpret verse 17 is by the book of Revelation, because there's not enough information given in the text here, not to Isaiah, to...
I'll spend a little more time looking at that, Bob, but if you have some research that you do and some we'll look forward to when you get back and we can look at that. But again, looking at that passage and looking at that one verse, it deals with death, and we know that death isn't in the new heaven and new earth, so it can't be a reference to the new heaven and the new earth, because there's death. So we got through ruling factors, revelation, responsibilities, characteristics, the test, can man obey God while Christ physically reigns on earth, and we know that they fail. Unsaved individuals will rebel outwardly against Christ during his reign. Following Satan after his release, Revelation 20, verse 7 and 9, we see that there will be a group that still follow him, and they rebel against Christ. So there's that failure. There's still the group that will believe and follow, but there's still, you know, there's still going to be people that reject Christ. You know, in our minds, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we go, how can that be possible? But it will be. And so there will still be that group. And then the last part of the judgment is where we finally get to the great white throne judgment. And this is where the great judgment happens. The book of life is opened. And if you're not found in the book of life, then you are cast into the eternal lake of fire. Who are the first cast into the lake of fire? It's during the tribulation. The false prophet and the dragon, the beast, are cast into the lake of fire. They are the ones that are cast in there first, and then at the end of the millennial kingdom, we see that they all unbelievers will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. But Satan isn't, it's the false prophet, the Antichrist, are influenced by Satan, but not.
Okay, the beast is the Antichrist.
How does that work exactly now? They're influenced by Satan, but Satan isn't cast in the lake of fire until.
Now that we're discussing it, it's
not me. they are influenced by Satan. But because Satan will be bound separately and during the millennial kingdom and then be released at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. Yes. That's the right until the end. From he's bound at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, and then that will end the millennial kingdom. Part of is then they enter into Armageddon, that last battle. And then after that battle, that's where the blood will flow as deep as the horses' bellies, and
years.
Yes, that battle will happen, and then the great white throne judgment. We're like 1 minute long, but I got through the whole thing. Lots of questions, not a lot of answers. This wasn't necessarily to answer all the questions about future events, but just to kind of do an overview of the millennial kingdom, how it will look and play out. So if you have questions or more questions regarding this time, bring them next week. But we are out of time. So it's been good. I knew that this one would bring up some good discussion. And Bob just did a little more reading than he was supposed to while I brought that up. Because I had read the same thing as I was studying and looking, and I went, this seems like it's out of order a little bit. But I hadn't had a chance to get those questions answered quite yet. Well, let's close in prayer. And again, any questions, save them for next week. Father, thank you again for your word. And thank you that we can read it and study it. And as we do have some questions, that we have the opportunity to research that out and compare it with other passages in your word. And thank you for the indwelling of your Holy Spirit during this time, that we can just be enlightened into and have your word illuminated in our lives. And I just pray that you would do that for us as we read and study your word. Just pray that you'll guide and direct in this next hour of service. Be with Pastor Craig as he teaches from your word. And again, challenge us through that. Be with the group as they lead us again in music. And just that we would glorify you through our singing as well today. And Father, I just want to lift up John and Brooke and Ryan and Parker, and knowing that Brooke and Ryan just had a really rough night and just not feeling well. Father, I just pray that you would just be with them and comfort them today, and that they would just get good rest before having to get back and get back into school. Just be with John, help him that he doesn't get sick as well, and so that he can just finish out this semester strong. Just pray this again in your name. Amen.